In that original Christmas story, we read in Luke chapter 1 of how the angel came to Mary. And I just want to bring a couple of thoughts out of that for us this morning as we remember this incredible gift, the King of Christmas as he came, Jesus as he came to this earth. And I want to talk about how do we respond to God's greatest gift. I mean, I love Christmas. It's a time of for family and friends. It's a time for relaxing, having a bit of downtime. It's a time, when you've got our children are a bit older now. And one of them's married this year. But for those of you who have younger children, it's a time where actually you take great delight in seeing their joy and their wonder. And as they open up their presents, sometimes when they're very young, they kind of enjoy the wrapping as much as the contents. But it's a wonderful time of just joy and family and being together. And even as you look around at this Christmas time as a family, I want you to remember that the most precious gifts of all are all God-given. Relationships, family, health, life itself, all God-given. And how do we respond to the greatest gift of all at Christmas time? What's our response? This gift from God the Father, of God the Son, by the power of God the Holy Spirit. That in itself is difficult to get our minds around. I said last week that everything about Christmas in the Bible is miraculous. And we must never dumb that down. We must never dilute that, because that's the backstory. That is the reason behind the season. It is God has come himself in human form. And when we look at Mary's response, we might be inclined to think that she just kind of dived in with blind faith when the angel came to her. But actually she didn't. The first way that she responded was she responded thoughtfully. It actually says in when Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you," it says she was confused and disturbed. And so would you and I have been if an angel appeared to you. I've had the privilege of kind of walking with Jesus for almost 40 years, and I've never seen an angel myself. But I've heard them. I've heard them in amongst thousands of people as we've been worshiping God. And that in itself brought most of the 5,000 people who were present to their knees as the presence of God just came in. She has a face-to-face encounter with an angel, and no wonder she's confused and disturbed. But actually the text says that she's more confused and disturbed by what he says than by who he is. And it says that she was wondering, she tried to think, she was processing this through her mind. And the actual word there means that she was, it's an accounting term in the Greek, means she was weighing up, she was counting. What does this mean for me? What is he actually saying? Who is this person bringing this message, this heavenly postman? Why has he come to me? And often people today, they read into ancient texts or things like this, and they think of people of that time maybe being more gullible or maybe more superstitious or ready to believe anything. But the reality is that Mary and Joseph, like you and I, were as intelligent as we are, and they knew exactly the way babies were formed. And the message that is coming to them from this heavenly messenger is something out of this world. It actually takes grappling with, it takes processing. And so Mary shows us, I mean, in the Jewish culture, they were expecting a Messiah, but at no time were they expecting God to become a human being. The Old Testament was pointing towards the fact that a Messiah would come, but their concept of Yahweh was so revered and so in awe of Yahweh, as we should be, that they thought the Messiah will never be God in human form. So they, in that culture, Mary, who was a devout Jew, was actually conditioned to not believe in that reality. In the same way, in this culture, we are told to deny the supernatural, only look at what we can see with our natural eyes. And so she had the same challenges for faith in her culture as we do in our culture. And she began often where we begin, processing these things through. I mean, the Trinity itself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God in three persons, and yet one, that is mind-boggling. Yet biblically, it's absolutely true. The virgin birth, we talked a bit about that last week. But the reality is, if God is God, he can do anything. And so she processes things through her mind. The second thing she does is she asks a question. She questions the angel after he says to her, "You'll give birth to a son. And you will call his name Jesus. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel. His kingdom will never end." Mary asks the question of the angel, "How can I have a baby? I'm a virgin." She questions it. She goes from thinking to questions. And it's good to question. But she doesn't question to close down the conversation. She questions with an open mind. She has an inquiring mind. She is challenged and doubts arise, but she's willing to go on a journey. She asks for more revelation, more information, more insight from heaven. Unlike Zechariah, who's mentioned early in the chapter, who when an angel came to him, kind of his doubt actually closed down his ability to accept what Gabriel was saying. Mary stays hungry and open for more through the questions. I remember hearing a story many years ago when I first started to inquire and question and look into Christianity myself in the 70s. And now in the 70s, there were lots of troubles in Northern Ireland, as many of us would know. And there was a man who was part of the IRA who'd been imprisoned. He was in the maximum security section of the Mays prison. And he'd been imprisoned there for bombing up various places and also for murder. And a chaplain who was going through the prison and sharing Jesus with people went into that particular cell. And he spoke to that man. And he prayed for him, shared Jesus with him, and he left him a Bible. And the man said, "Well, what am I supposed to do with this?" He said, "Well, why don't you open it? And when you open it, ask God questions. Ask God to speak to you through his word." And he left it with him. And sometime later, I can't remember whether it was a week or a month, he went back. And that man's life was totally transformed. He'd opened up scripture. He started to read through the New Testament. He was asking God questions. And God was speaking to him through the pages of his living word. He was totally transformed. And that man started to share the good news with other prisoners in that cell. Incredible story of transformation. But it came through asking questions. God's not afraid of when you ask him questions. In this journey, we've got an Alpha course coming up in January. And the opportunity of Alpha, the invitation of Alpha, is to come along and come on a journey and question. Ask any question related to life. And it talks about the big questions of life. Who am I? Why am I here? Is there more to life than what I've experienced so far? Is there more to life than what I just see with the natural eye? These are the kind of questions that Mary was asking. These are the kind of questions that we need to be asking, because life is actually more than what we see with the natural eye. There is an invisible realm. There is a God of heaven who has sent a son, Jesus. So those questions are asked on the Alpha course. We look at, who is Jesus? Why did Jesus die? Did he really rise from death? Because if he did, it has incredible implications for who he is, what he did, and implications for your life and for mine. The third thing that Mary does, after a thoughtful response and asking questions, the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High," this is the response to the question, "the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby born of you will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's more," he encourages her, "your relative Elizabeth, an older lady, has become pregnant in her old age." People used to say she was barren, but she's already 6 months pregnant. "For nothing is impossible with God." Literally what he says there, not any word of God is impossible or without power of fulfillment. And this is Mary's response, the next response. "I'm the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true." And then I love the next bit. It says, "And the angel left." It's like when the angel heard that response, "I'm the Lord's servant, be it unto me according to your word," he kind of realized, God, you've made an amazing choice here. The response is there. The Spirit of God is going to come into her life, and everything that you've promised will be released through her life. What was her response? Firstly, it was she yielded to God's word and to God's Spirit. There was a faith that rose in her hearts. She'd wrestled things through in her minds. She'd asked questions, but now God encourages her with a story of a relative who's much older. Mary, by the way, is a young teenager, about 14 or 15 years old. This older lady, we don't know how old she was, but she was probably, I don't know, 70 or 80 maybe, because it was another miracle that she and her husband, that she was also pregnant. Mary doesn't know that she's pregnant. The angel informs her, and faith rises up in her heart. Faith rises, and she says, "Be it unto me according to your word." It's an incredible thing, that, friends, that that's what happened to that man in the maize prison. As he questioned God, as he started to read the biblical story and the truth of who Jesus is, faith started to rise up. The Spirit of God started to work in his life, and he yielded his life to Christ. And then not only did she have faith in the word of the Lord, but she surrendered everything to the Lord of the word. She actually risked everything on taking this word on from God. She risked everything on it. Her reputation, she was a devout lady. She was well known in the community. She was engaged to be married to Joseph, which was effectively like being married in that culture. And she was going to become pregnant. She was going to be slandered in that community, potentially. How did this happen? You're not married yet. She would take on a lot of shame in that community. She'd also carry a child who would carry that shame too, born illegitimately in that community. How did he get born? And she was willing to surrender to God and lay everything on the line. And that word where she says, "I am the servant of the Lord," actually means slave. Imagine that 14 or 15-year-old girl saying, "I'm willing to lay everything down for this gift that's out of this world, the gift of God." And then she receives an anointing. She receives the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say, friends, as we look at wrapping up in this next couple of minutes, there's a lot of talk about the spirit of Christmas. And it is the most, for many, and for me too, a most wonderful, maybe not the most, but a most wonderful time of the year, as I've described earlier. Scientists actually, I'm told, did a test on people who actually celebrate Christmas. in the traditional way, and those who go through December without really celebrating Christmas in any kind of way. And they discovered that the ones who celebrate Christmas in a traditional way do actually exhibit more joy, more happiness in their lives in that period. They did physiological tests and brain tests and all the rest of it. But that's one thing to do that, and it was only a small group of people they did that with. And that joy only lasts for a small length of time. The reality is that for many people, Christmas is a challenging time. They are lonely. They've lost a loved one. 500,000 UK families this year will have an empty chair through Christmas time because they've lost a loved one this year. There's challenges that come at Christmas. But the Holy Spirit is not just a gift for Christmas. He's a gift for life. The Holy Spirit is a gift that brings eternal life. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes Jesus alive in us. You see, Mary's responses are relevant to every one of us here today. They're actually relevant to every man, woman, child on planet Earth, because this Son of God came for everyone. That was the good news that the angels said to the shepherds. I have good news of great joy for everyone. Today in the city of David, a Savior is born who is Christ the Lord. It's for everyone. This gift of Christ has your name on it. It's for you. It's for you. It's got your name on it. Danny, Amelia, Brian, Elizabeth, Roy, Ashley. It's got your name on it. Not just Mary's name. It's for you. I mentioned earlier that as a teenager, when I was a similar age, actually, to Mary in the story here, somebody came into my life one day, came into our home, and it wasn't an angel. it was my brother. It wasn't Gabriel, it was Hunter. He came back home to us, and something had changed in his life. He'd been away to university, and we as a family had quite a religious upbringing. We went to church every Sunday. And we thank God for that. But none of us had discovered relationship with Jesus, and none of us had received this gift of God. Hunter came back, and he had, and we saw a difference in his life, and he started to share his story with me. And I went on a journey. I started to think through these things. I started to question. I started to go with him to a young people's group in Warrington on a Sunday night, as well as the Sunday morning at the Presbyterian church we were part of. And I started to see God at work in a new way. I started to see the Holy Spirit moving. It was kind of a bit scary at times what God was doing, in the sense of I wasn't used to it. There was nothing wild or wacky, but people were singing with joy. I hadn't seen that before. People were singing with passion. People were singing with feeling. And if you read on with the story, you'll see that happened to Mary too. The power of the Holy Spirit in her life came out in a song that she just rejoiced in her Savior. I saw that for the first time. And as the months ticked on, and the years ticked on, actually, I pressed in for more of God. And there came a time where my brother spoke to me again a couple of years later. He was back home for Christmas. And he said to me, "What are you doing? What do you know about the Holy Spirit?" And the church that we were in didn't really talk much about the Holy Spirit. And over another few months, I went on a personal journey to read about the Holy Spirit. And about on the 29th of June, 1980, I knelt down in my bedroom. After all the questions and all the thinking and all the pursuing, and I said to God, take my life. Take my life. And I had an encounter with God in that room where the Holy Spirit imparted or infused in my life, whatever term we might use, a peace like I'd never experienced before. And the love of God like I'd never experienced before. And that night, I was born again. That night, there was a spiritual birth that took place in my life. And by the grace of God, I haven't been the same since. There have been lots of ups and downs in the journey in the last 40 years, but there's been one constant: Jesus. Jesus. Lynn's had two miscarriages in our journey, but there's been one constant: Jesus. I went through a time of depression 17 years ago, but there was one constant: Jesus. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are not a gift for Christmas. They're a gift for life. And the life that He gives is God's gift to you. How we respond to it and what we do with it is our gift to God. And my prayer for you this Christmas is, like Mary, you'll receive that gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. She had a unique role to play, of course. But she birthed the Savior of the world, who went from the cradle to a cross to die for our sins, rose again, ascended, and is crowned as King of Glory in heaven right now. And from that place, He's poured out the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is available. The Holy Spirit is here. He's a gift of God to give you life eternal. And it comes through faith and yielding our lives to Him and saying, Lord, take everything. Be it unto me. Maybe you've known the Lord in the past, and maybe you've drifted from the community of God's family. I want to say to you today, God loves you. And has never taken His eyes off you. His favor is towards you. And He is for you. And the door is wide open to ask Him and say, Lord, I give my life afresh to you today. Let's just pray, friends, as we close off this morning and enjoy some food just now. The Holy Spirit, He is present here today. The gift of God is available. Mary took full ownership of that gift. And you can too. And if you want to respond to that gift today, just follow me in this prayer that I'm going to pray, just to receive Christ. Or to say yes to Jesus afresh. A recommitment to Christ today. Father God, I thank you that you sent Jesus, your Son. I thank you that He came and He gave His life for me. And today, Lord, I respond. And I want to commit my life to you. I recognize who you are. You are Lord of all. And I want to acknowledge today, you are my Savior and my King. I turn away from my old way of living and I turn back to you, Jesus, today. I thank you for your love towards me. Thank you for your favor on my life. Thank you for the blessings that you've poured into my life. And I commit my life to you. Thank you for making me your child. Thank you for that gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for pouring that out upon my life today. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that Mary not only received, but she pursued you. That many years later, on the day of Pentecost, as a 50-year-old thereabouts, she was in that upper room waiting for more of the Holy Spirit. She didn't just have one experience of the Holy Spirit. She pursued more of him, more of the life of God. And Lord Jesus, I pray for each one of us that as we enjoy this Christmas time, that as we go forward into a new year, that our hearts would bound towards you, that we would passionately pursue you, Jesus, in the way that you came and passionately pursued us. We thank you for that, Lord. And may we be like those shepherds that run to see you, that run to make the news of what we've seen available to others, to share this good news, this greatest news of all, the greatest gift of all. May we pass on the message and may we pursue you with greater passion and intensity through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.